This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Friday, November 22nd. So what comes next after the House impeachment hearings? How much will you discuss this around your Thanksgiving table with your red state uncle or your blue state niece and come to any consensus about what happened or what it means or what should be done about it? It was the Democrats who got to make the rules and call the shots in the House, where they have the majority. It'll be the Republicans in the Senate. Here are a few clips that show the different planets the two parties were on, or at least pretended to be on, as the 5 days and 12 witnesses of testimony ended yesterday. Democrats are absolutely loving the closing remarks by Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff. He drew a line from the Trump and Russia investigation to Trump Ukraine. He closed by invoking the closing words of the late House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings as Cummings adjourned the Michael Cohen hearing back in February. Remember this?
As a country, we are so much better than this. And, you know, I told you, and for some reason, Mr. Cohen, I tell my children, I say, when bad things happen to you, do not ask the question, why did it happen to me? Ask the question, why did it happen for me? I don't know why this is happening for you, but it is my hope that a small part of it is for our country to be better. If I hear you correctly, it sounds like you're crying out for a new normal, for us getting back to normal. It sounds to me like you want to make sure that our democracy stays intact.
Elijah Cummings, we are so much better than this, from February. Of course, Elijah Cummings died last month. But his words were resurrected by Chairman Schiff as he closed these hearings with an echo of that. Schiff said it took him a long time for him to become convinced to go down the impeachment path, but it came down to what happened after Elijah Cummings delivered those words and after the Mueller hearings on July 24th.
It came down to the fact that the day after Bob Mueller testified, that Donald Trump invited Russian interference, hey, Russia, if you're listening, come get Hillary's emails, and later that day, they tried to hack her server. The day after he testified that not only did Trump invite that interference, but that he welcomed the help in the campaign, they made full use of it, they lied about it, they obstructed the investigation into it, and all this is in his testimony and his report. The day after that, Donald Trump is back on the phone asking another nation to involve itself in another U.S. election. That says to me, this president believes he is above the law, beyond accountability. And in my view, there is nothing more dangerous than an unethical president who believes they are above the law. And I would just say to people watching here at home and around the world, in the words of my great colleague, we are better than that. Adjourned.
The emotional end of these 5 days of impeachment hearings from Chairman Adam Schiff. By way of contrast, the ranking Republican, Devin Nunes' closing remarks, also referenced those 2 days in July, but framed them very differently.
July 24th of this year, Special Counsel Robert Mueller testifies to Congress about his report, which debunked the conspiracy theory that the Trump campaign associates conspired with Russia to hack the 2016 elections. July 25th, just the very next day, a new anti-Trump operation begins as someone listens to the president's phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky and leaks the contents to the so-called whistleblower.
So for Nunes, the Trump-Ukraine investigation is just the latest in the permanent state of Democrats' desire to impeach, looking for a crime to hang it on. For many Democrats, Trump has campaigned and governed from day one as a unique threat to democracy, and he's been too slippery to get held accountable, maybe until now. For many Democrats, it's can they stop him before his authoritarian dreams get too far? So here we are. With me now is Tim Mak, who covers politics and national security for NPR. Hi, Tim. Thanks for coming on.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
How much do you think both sides believe what they're saying?
It's hard to divine. It's hard to get in the minds of these folks. But, you know, I mean, it does seem that over the course of this week, there's been very little movement in response to your question about whether or not Republicans might change their mind or Democrats might change their minds. There's been very little movement, very little suggestions that there are Republicans willing to change their minds and vote in favor of impeachment if it does get to that, or Democrats willing to change their mind and oppose it.
Here's a clip from yesterday that makes that point, and maybe this is going to be the overarching conversation in the Senate. I don't know. If the evidence isn't really disputable, maybe we'll hear a lot of Senate Republicans come down like probably the most moderate Republican on the Intel Committee, the most prominent, the most moderate Republican who got to ask questions over these 5 days of hearings, Congressman Will Hurd of Texas, who is also not running for reelection next year, so he's freer to speak his mind than many others. And to be clear, he does not support impeachment. But here's how he framed his position in his final session yesterday.
So why are we here? Because of two things that occurred during the president's July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. The use of the phrase, do us a favor, though, in reference to the 2016 presidential election, and the mention of the word Biden. I believe both statements were inappropriate, misguided foreign policy, and it's certainly not how the executive, current or in the future, should handle such a call. Over the course of these hearings, the American people have learned about a series of events that, in my view, have undermined our national security and undercut Ukraine, a key partner on the front lines against Russian aggression.
Congressman Will Hurd. So, Tim, how much do you think we're headed for a lot of that in the Senate versus a chamber full of Devin Nunes's and Jim Jordan's saying, this was fine, stop picking on him?
Well, I think you've already, I mean, there doesn't really go by a single day in the Senate where senators are not asked by reporters, what do you think of the latest development on the House impeachment inquiry? And do you think that the president's actions were appropriate? And you'll find that, you know, generally speaking, there are some Republican lawmakers that say this was inappropriate, but it's just not, this does not rise to the level of an impeachable offense.
Let's take a phone call. Gail, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. Hi, Gail.
Good morning. Thank you. I have been wondering about this for a long time. I am a Democrat, and make no mistake, I would like Trump to be in jail for the rest of his natural life. And I'm wondering, I need more information about how we know that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have been exonerated from any wrongdoing. I take as the case that Joe Biden was commissioned by our government and international partners to see to it that the prosecutor in Ukraine was dismissed. I take that. But I would like to know how we know all of that.
Tim, can you answer her question?
Well, on the issue of Joe Biden, I mean, the folks that we heard testimony from over the course of the past week have all testified that they have no evidence to suggest that there was any evidence of corruption with regards to the former vice president's conduct, right? So that they don't have anything that would suggest that. And in fact, many of the witnesses testified that they thought that Joe Biden was a man of character and someone who would not be involved in these kinds of allegations of corruption. Now, with regards to Hunter Biden, there hasn't been an investigation as far as I know, into these allegations of wrongdoing. It's just that there hasn't been any evidence provided that he was involved in wrongdoing other than this appearance of a conflict of interest, taking this job on the board of the energy company Burisma while his father was the vice president of the United States and very much focused on Ukrainian issues.
So if Hunter Biden did do something that was sleazy, if not illegal, Gail, and if no one's been able to turn up any evidence that Joe Biden facilitated any kind of change in U.S. foreign policy to help his son, then how is it even relevant, Democrats would ask, to the question of whether President Trump, as president of the United States, abused his power? So, Tim, the Republicans in the House committee wanted to call Hunter Biden as a witness, and the Democrats, who have the power to reject that, did reject it. When they moved to the Senate, the Republicans have the majority. I guess they'll have the power to determine the witness list. Think they're going to call Hunter Biden?
Well, I don't know, but I do know that Senator Lindsey Graham, who chairs the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, has already begun a probe asking for documents from the State Department, for example, related to Ukraine. This is just happening in the last 24 hours or so. It does not appear that the president's allies in the Senate will be keeping away from this issue like House Democrats have been.
Well, there's reporting on Senate Republicans considering longer or shorter, more detailed or less of an impeachment trial in January, assuming they get handed this ball. What's that about and how does that dovetail with what you just reported?
Well, yeah, there was a meeting between some Senate Republicans and the president just yesterday. Evidently, the topic of impeachment did come up. But we're really getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, right? Because we're still at a very early, relatively early phase in this process. The House Intelligence Committee has not announced that they've concluded their hearings into this issue. They could well announce additional hearings after Thanksgiving. We don't know. They haven't said, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not yet laid out a timeline. After that occurs, after they finish up their open hearings, they have to write a report. They have to submit it to the House Judiciary Committee. The House Judiciary Committee has to hold their own meetings, draft up articles of impeachment. This is a very long process that's going to take place over the next few months, and there's no telling exactly what shape or form it might take.
Edmund, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in. Hello.
Hello. So I've taken the point that I was with Nancy Pelosi in the beginning, which was resist impeachment. I listened to all of the trials up to this point, and I also believe that we had no choice. As I say, Democrats had no choice in calling an impeachment hearing because of the what we thought was going on was serious. I've come to a place where, though, I don't think there's enough to impeach. And I think that there's a really important context. One is that it's true, whether we like it or not, and I keep saying we, but you know, Democrats have looked like from day one they want to take down President Trump. That is the perception. And it's in some ways very real. Two, the other side is hyper-defensive about the possibility of losing something. They're about to lose the president they put into office. And I certainly remember during the impeachment hearings of Bill Clinton. I have to say, admittedly, I love Bill Clinton. He was a great legislator. And it felt horrible. It felt absolutely horrible to see him be taken down like that. And so I can empathize with the other side, mm-hmm. that they're trying to take down my president. So for me, the big and one other thing, I absolutely believe, and I think lots of people are willing to admit, including Republicans, are willing to admit that what happened was absolutely wrong. But they're not going to go as far as we'd like them to, and what we know to be true, because of this context. And we're going to take down the president. There was a CNN scheduled interview. I mean, this was going to happen. And if,
right.
You know,
Zelensky was going to go on CNN and announce the investigations as that political favor to Trump to get the military aid released, according to the evidence.
Absolutely. So there can be no question that this was going to happen. but we kind of knew this about Trump in the first place. You know, like, we know this about him. In context of the grand scheme, in context of who he is, I think the bigger opportunity here is for Nancy Pelosi to negotiate with Republicans and get a Republican to lead this announcement, which is that
what happened
was absolutely wrong.
Go ahead.
And should never happen again. And here are the rules going forward. And if this were actually found to have happened, and which came very close to, it would have been impeachable. And this is a Republican saying this.
Your dream here is kind of censure and move on. Is that a fair way to put it?
Use the leverage the Democrats have right now to get the Republicans to say this is wrong and set the stage going forward, because this is an unacceptable precedent.
Edmund, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for your call. And let me say, listeners, that our board is full of Democrats calling in and saying off with his political head. And I cherry-picked, for the sake of conversation, these two Democrats who called in who aren't convinced about impeachment. Tim Mak, NPR politics and national security correspondent. Do you think if you had a private conversation with Democrats that they might say something like we've been hearing from either of these two, let's say the last caller, Edmund, that, yeah, we get how you feel, Republicans, that it looks like we've been after him from day one. It's because we're so concerned about our country and how he's a unique threat to it. But yeah, this is how he's always been. And let's do some version of what the group MoveOn.org was created for during the Clinton impeachment. Remember that? It was censure, say it was bad, say it was wrong, and move on.
Well, you know, this has been the historical fear of Democrats, and one of the real reasons why there was so much resistance to starting an impeachment process. It was that, you know, even if impeachment did pass the House, it would probably stall in the Senate. And if the president is not convicted and removed, doesn't that send a signal that the underlying behavior was okay? But I don't think that there are very many Democrats in private conversations after this week of hearings that feel less justified now in pursuing this course than they did 7 or 8 or 9 days ago. You played some tape from Chairman Adam Schiff. He does not sound like someone who is demoralized or is thinking about how much he regrets going into this process. I think Democrats are very much feeling like this is the only way forward is to take this impeachment proceeding forward. And in a way, it serves as a form of censure to pass this.
Here's a clip of the president himself, who went on Fox and Friends this morning and defended his behavior toward Ukraine in various ways. It was a long segment. Here's one very short clip, 22 seconds, of a main case he was making.
And don't forget, Ukraine hated me. They were after me in the election. They wanted Hillary Clinton to win. And when I won, all of a sudden they became so nice. They had to make up. There were many articles where they had to, you know, get to be friendly, you know, because we're like a gravy train for them. OK, we're like their gravy train. So they were totally in favor of Hillary Clinton.
So I'm not sure how that makes it OK to withhold military aid for a political favor, but it does describe why he felt he had leverage. Right. He says Ukraine felt they had to play catch up and get in his good graces.
Right. And one thing that's clear over the course of the testimony this week is from State Department diplomats, from Ukraine experts who testified before the committee, there's a real power disparity between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine. And when the president of the United States makes a request to a country that's engaged in a hot war and needs the assistance of the United States, that can come off as a demand.
You're a national security correspondent. The Democrats and just about every witness made the case that this wasn't just about Ukrainian national security, but also about U.S. national security. That would be a powerful argument for independent voters, maybe, but I don't know if they landed the argument in the way that Uncle Fred in Janesville, Wisconsin will feel is a security threat to him. How did you hear them trying this week as a national security reporter?
You know, it's interesting because voters have typically not made their voting decisions based on national security issues. Of course, there are obvious exceptions. But generally speaking, what motivates what motivates voters are what we so often refer to as, you know, kitchen table issues. So the argument that's made with regards to Ukraine is that Ukraine is on the front lines of this tension, this conflict between the West and Russia, and that if they are weakened, it makes the whole world less safe and it makes the United States less safe. I'm not sure that your average independent voter thinks a lot about the provision of Javelin anti-tank missiles to Ukraine or whether that's in our interest or not in our interest. I'm not sure that's able to cut through.
Before we run out of time, Tim, one factual question. What's the John Bolton story? He seems to have had disdain for the Mulvaney and Rudy drug deal, as he called it. But unlike some of his underlings, like Fiona Hill and Tim Morrison and Colonel Vindman and Jennifer Williams, all of whom are from, you know, his chain of command, he has refused to come and testify. Do you understand why?
Well, it's interesting. Fiona Hill, in her testimony this week, made a little subtle jab at her former boss, saying those people with knowledge of these incidents and this topic have a moral duty. I'm paraphrasing here. Have a moral duty to come before Congress and tell people what they know. John Bolton has resisted coming before Congress. Now, that may change. The like I said earlier, the House Intelligence Committee has not announced that it has wrapped up its inquiry, but I don't see very much indication of it. You did see, however, John Bolton tweet something this morning saying, you know, stay tuned. I don't know what he's teasing or what he's up to. I think that he might have a book deal in the works or has completed a book deal. But the big question over the next week as we get into Thanksgiving and Congress is now out of town is, will John Bolton change his mind and testify before Congress?
Well, as you said, he said, stay tuned. Tim Mak, NPR National Security and Politics Correspondent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, as part of our impeachment coverage, we're inviting podcast listeners to try your hand at writing your own article of impeachment. One article of impeachment that accuses the president of a high crime and states how he committed it. After we get some, we'll invite Trump defenders to call in and push back. Here's an example that a listener has already phoned in, then we'll tell you how you can do this too.
This is Kim Evans in Ithaca, New York, and I'm calling with my article of impeachment. The president has conspired to corrupt and degrade public understanding by using formal channels to endorse and promote discredited information, for example, the idea that Ukraine and not Russia meddled in U.S. elections. In addition to turning us into a country of fools, this violation of public trust has serious ramifications for the security of the nation. To be ignorant and misinformed is to be vulnerable. The president and his allies knowingly mislead the American people, and in this way, leave us open to attack and harm.
Thanks, Kim Evans from Ithaca, New York. If you'd like to propose an article of impeachment, write it down, then call our voicemail to record it at 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255. Or if you'd rather do it in writing, we have a webpage with a form you can use. That's impeachmentpodcast.org. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.